Birshus, Rosh Kailo. I was just asked if I would be willing to give a few words this night's Mishmar. And I felt and I feel it's appropriate, perhaps, even though there's been plenty said, that at least in the beginning we spend a moment or two with a little contemplation about the tragedy that has so deeply impacted Klal Yisrael this week. People are still nisragish from it. They have tremendous regish, a tremendous feeling of an emotional down a sense of almost chas v'shalom. People are a little depressed. The expectations were great and it didn't necessarily turn out as some had envisioned. And as we search for some type of mahalach, some type of hadracha, and something to hold on to, I'll offer a thought, mamish b'anius daiti, that I heard from one of my rebbeim in yeshiva, not directly related to a tragedy, but a lesson that nonetheless, I believe, has a message to be learned, and it's directly related to the parasha, and indirectly related to the topic of this evening's Mishmar. The pasuk says, towards the beginning of the parasha, when it discusses Bilaam's enthusiasm to go and curse the Jewish people. So the pasuk tells us, "Vayakom Bilaam baboiker." He got up in the morning. He went and he saddled his own donkey. So comes Rashi and makes an interesting lesson and a tzushta. Mikan, from here we learn, shehasina mekalkeles es hashuva. How sinna, how hatred takes over a person's mind that they're not able to think straight. The sinna mekalkeles es hashuva, it takes away the person's balance, their equilibrium. They can't think straight. It's mekalkeles es hashuva. He went himself, Bilaam, and saddled his own donkey as a symbol of haste, of zrizus, of a deep desire to go and curse the Jewish people. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha, Shem says to Bilaam, you wicked person, Kvar kidamucha Avram Avihem, Avram, their forefather, already preceded you. Shneimar v'yashkim Avram baboiker v'yachvesh eschameiroi. Avram Avinu got up early in the morning and he also saddled his donkey to go do the Akedah. Akedah Siyitzchok. So my Rebbe Zatzal, David Heksher, in Yeshiva's called Torah, so he asked a question. He says, Lemaisa, the implication here is that somehow or another, the motivation of Bilaam, which is purely a motivation of sinna, of yetzahara, is somehow or another worthy of being compared to, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that which Avram Avinu did by Akedas Yitzchak. And yes, what's the connection, Bichlal? One thing is motivated by pure rishus and yetzahara. That needs that Avram Avinu, with all his greatness, that he got up as rishus to go to Akedas Yitzchak to counterbalance, counteract this behavior of Bilaam. Why does it even need a counteraction? This is behavior of a rasha. Who cares? So he's motivated by his yetzer. Remember, he said over a cute smaisa that, if I remember it correctly at least, that one time the Beis HaLevi went to wake up his son Reb Chaim, and he was trying to get him to get up, and it was in the morning time, it was a little late. So he says to him, Nu, get up, the goyim are already awake. What are you doing in bed? So Reb Chaim apparently answered him with a little pikrus, and he said, listen, the Yetzer Hara that's causing me to sleep is the same Yetzer Hara that got them to get up early. And it's the same Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara wants them up to go out and do whatever they're doing. So he said, basically, here too, the Yetzer Hara is the one that's being misoyrer here, Bilam. He's the one that's causing this whole thing to happen. So we have to worry about the fact that we need something to counterbalance and counteract that with Avraham Avinu. That was his kasha. And he said like this. You know, the pasuk, the Medrash talks about it. The pasuk says, Me'oivai sechakmeni mitzvaysecho. A person is supposed to learn from our enemies how we to perform mitzvahs. Become a chacham, we become wise by looking at the way our enemies act. And that should give us necessary information to learn how to be Oyved Hashem. He says, we have to understand, and he quotes from the Medrash, he brings many different stories there in the Medrash. But he focuses on this Nekuda. He says that we have to understand, by the Goyim have what we know as a tshuka, a deep desire and passion and want and motivation to go do whatever davar osu that they're doing, all the dvarim asurim that they're involved in. They have a real tshuka for rishus. They have a real tshuka for nevala, for all types of immoral behavior and everything else that goes along with it. They have a deep desire for that, and a passion, and they enjoy it, and they have a geshmak, and they get up in order to be able to fight for the cause of nevala. We, on the other hand, as Yidden, we're not born with that same level of tshuka for anything. That's the way he put it. We don't have tshuka for anything, innately. Zich, we don't have for rishus, Baruch Hashem, right? We don't have it for ra, we don't get up in the morning with a tshuka to go do bad things. But we also don't have it for toiv. Because a tshuka for toiv, zrizus, passion, that's a madrega that we have to work on constantly. It's not something that's innate, that happens without any effort on our part, that's just part of who we are. That requires a tremendous amount of avodah. And the Yetzer Hara is trying to stop us every step of the way. It's trying to put obstacles in front of us from being able to have that sense of geshmak, of passion, and of zrizus to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have, in other words, we know you have to do what's right, and of course we're born with a conscience, a yitzhak toiv, that tells us you have to do what's right, and we do it without any problem or hesitation. But passion, tshuka, a desire, we look for opportunities and search, that's something you have to work on. So technically speaking, that can be a serious taina on the Jewish people. It can be a serious taina on us. That there they go with such a sinna that's mekalkeles es ashura from the moment they wake up. They have a tshuka to go do rishus. They have a tshuka to do bad. Their sinna is so powerful, it completely takes over logical thinking. You don't even think straight. Their desire for evil is so powerful that they don't even think straight anymore. All it is their cause and their goals. And if chas v'sholayim, we don't have something to counterbalance that, counteract that tshuka, then that's a big tain on us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Klal Yisrael has a tshuka. Avraham Avinu shows how something that we can accomplish, that we can work towards, that we can actually make happen in our lives. He also got up. He had ahava mekalkeles es ashura. He had a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was so powerful that even if it meant what it meant, Akedas Yitzchak, he was willing to do it to express his Ahava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was willing to give it all up for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was an Ahava Mekalkeles Es Hashuha. It was something that took away his love for Hashem. That's the only thing he can think about. No other Cheshbonos mattered. That's the only way that we can survive any taina against us. From that level, from that darga of Ahava Mekalkeles Es Hashuha. And like I said before, I'm not worthy of even suggesting anything, let alone try to give any understanding. But a message can't be wrong to take, and applying it is already up to us. But there's no question that what we witnessed was a sinna mekalkeles es hashuha. There's no question that what we saw was an unfiltered hatred that defies all logic. And it's not just what we saw, Rahman al-Itzlan, but the reaction of the world to go along with it. It makes no sense. Zecher reminds us of the fact that Ein lana lehisha'ein, al mi lehisha'ein ela al avinu shebashamayim. There's no question about that. But we have to fight back this sinna hamekalkeles, this sinna that is so deep that's not logical. A tshuka to hurt, a tshuka to do kol davar osur, a tshuka to kill, to destroy things that it's impossible for us to even comprehend. We can't grasp it. It's impossible. We can't. But we do know that we have to do something. And that something should be, perhaps, to focus on an Ahava Mekalkeles Es Hashuha. To show HaKadosh Baruch Hu our tshuka. To serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. To have extra tshuka of a Yashkin Baboiker and come and learn and come and daven. To be the first one to be running out for the opportunity to do a chesed or a maisa mitzvah. Not to let our feet drag. Not to show that it's an oil, chas v'sholim, but it's a privilege, a sense of the ahava that defines us as Torah Jews, to let that guide our every fiber, every being, every step we take, the excitement and the passion, the ahava, so that we have what to answer. That we are the descendants of Avram. Vayashkem Avram b'boiker. To go serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the only counterbalance that I think that it's feasible for us at some level to be able to do. To talk about Achdus in a global sense, to talk about trying to maintain a sense of unity amongst all of Klal Yisrael, is a very difficult challenge. Perhaps because it never existed or hasn't existed for a very long time. So to say that we can accomplish that yet again is very, very hard. But if we each understand what our tafkid is in terms of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to recognize that we have an achrayus to represent the avodas Hashem with a passion and with an ahava, with a tshuka, then we'll have what to answer the terrible sinna and the terrible illogical hatred and passion that they have to cause harm and evil. Ezras Hashem, if we can show that to the Ribbono Shel Olam, if we can live like that, can be zeiche to the call, right, of the geula, and these type of tzores, the tzores that are a cause of golus. You know, I try to explain to people, whoever listens to me, it's not too many, but whenever I have a chance, right, that. You know, people sometimes say, oh, Mashiach should come so these terrible things don't happen anymore. Or a person needs parnosa and says, we need Mashiach already, I need parnosa. Or a person needs something else and I want Mashiach already so that we don't have any more tzores. That's not why we want Mashiach to come. And that can't be why we want Mashiach to come. We want Mashiach to come because we want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. We want to get rid of Shibud Malchiyos. We want to get rid of the Seor Shebe'isa. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come out of Galus, the Galusa, the Shechinta Begalusa, to go back to his home in the Beis HaMikdash, that Klal Yisrael should come back to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any tirdus. That's what we need the Geula for. And if we show the Rebbeinu Shem already,
it's very lofty.
But it's lofty, but Afal Pikein.
It's much easier to want Moshiach to stop tragedies.
Yeah.
And it's also true.
Yes and no. It's an agavurcha. The tragedies will stop when there's no more golus. It's the secondary aspect of it. It'll be a result of it, but it's not going
to
be.
Well, you want people to want Moshiach.
I understand what you're saying. Listen, I'm not. If you want to have Mashiach for whatever reason, gesundheit, that's fine with me. I encourage you to want Mashiach and to want the Geula. But I still feel it's necessary and important for us to, at the very least, appreciate what exactly it is that we should be wanting. You know, especially we're getting close to now the Drei Wochen, and we're going to mourn the Churban Beis HaMikdash. I think it's crucial for us to understand what that means at some level, and what we need back. Anyways, it's not my topic. It's just a thought. Now I can get to my topic. See, you got me to get into my topic a lot quicker, perhaps. Now let's deal with the topic. The topic is, I don't know what the title that was given, but the basic idea of what I wanted to speak about was something that also has to do with this week's parasha, and I believe is a continuation of our message. We find throughout the Torah, in numerous places, this constant comparison of us, Klal Yisrael, to animals, and our need to learn certain midos from them. It's like a big thing. You find it throughout all Chazal and Chumash and everything, that there's an idea that we're possessed with the midos of the animals, and we have to learn from the animals. And I always find that to be so interesting, not to say peculiar. Like, what exactly... Like most of us, we say these expressions without really understanding. Was meant. And we're going to focus on one because we don't have enough time to focus on all of them. But one in particular, which is this week's parasha, is the comparison to an ari. The comparison that we have made to a lion. Now, I don't know. To me, it's a very difficult thing to understand. I'm not an expert in lions by any stretch of the imagination. The closest I've ever got to was in Lion Country Safari, which I don't even know why they zeicha to the name, because you see very few of them. You see much more ostriches and other things going on there. I guess people wouldn't go if they had ostrich country safari. It doesn't appeal to anybody. But regardless, when you go there, they're always sleeping. They're always sleeping. I don't know. And I go there and they're always schluffing. I don't know what that means, Bechlau. Right? Do you ever see? All of a sudden, they move their head. Everybody's, oh, I moved that. We're like hoping it'll eat a gazelle. Something escapes from the other side and gets in there, so we see some action. Gurnish. They're all sleeping. Nothing's happening. So what's this whole thing about? These gabon kari. What's the comparison, Bichlal? And in this week's parasha, we have it. Look, Bilam looks upon the Jewish people and he says, "Hen am kelovi yakum v'cha'ari yisnasa." Says Rashi, unbelievable Rashi. Hein am kelavi yakum. Kishehein oimdim mishnasom, when they get up from their sleep, shachris in the morning, him is gabrim kelavi v'cha'ari. They have gvura like the lion. Lavi is either a baby lion or a lioness, I'm not sure exactly. Lachtif as a mitzvah, to grab onto the mitzvah, lachtif, like a lion jumps on its prey. Lachtif as a mitzvah, we're going to grab those mitzvahs. Lilvosh talis likris as a shmal, aniach tefillin, bechule. So here we are, compared to the lion, and it's a pella. First of all, like I said, what? We don't really know what a lion is. So for us to say we're like the lion, let it forget we're going to see it in the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see it in a few places. It seems like a very different, that's to me a big loftier, a much loftier challenge. I don't know how to become like a lion. The second kasha and the third kasha I saw from the Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And I'm going to tell you his mahalach. But he asks another two questions. He asks another question in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Yehuda ben Tema Oimer. Az kanomer, kal kanesher, rotz katzvi, vegibor ka'ari. La'asoyis retzoin avicha shebashamayim. So, beautiful Mishnah. Everybody knows the song and the Mishnah. So, what does this mean? You have to be like Az, like a nomer, Kal, like a nesher, Rotz, you have to be swift, like a tzvi, and Gibor, Ka'ari. So he asks, why would, similar to what we said, the Tana choose animals that the average person had no clue about? This is already a command. Be like this. Hevei, you have to become like this. The average person who lived in a little town somewhere never saw not a lion, not a nomer. How often do we see a nesher? I mean, today, for sure, very hard to run into these things. So he asks, why pick animals that are so far off into the... These are forest animals. These are safari animals. These are not, you know, the animals that we live amongst. They're not domesticated animals. And the second kasha is, why would he choose the animals that are tmeis? Behemoth tmeis. Ari is a behemoth tmeya. If you want to learn a midah taiva, you're going to learn from a behemoth tmeya. Midah taiva, we should learn from behemoth tahiris. You're going to learn a midah taiva from a behemoth tmeya. That's his kashas. So he says an interesting mahalach. I have one more question that I'm going to just stop in here, if you don't mind. On our Rashi, where he says the Lashon Lachtiv es HaMitzvos. Lachtiv es HaMitzvos implies, at least to me, that we are supposed to be jumping on the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Jumping. Like the first chance you get, you trounce on it, pounce on it. I don't know, I saw Mesilas Yesharim at in the midah of Tahara, where he talks about how are we kaina the midah of Tahara. How you acquire this characteristic of purity, purity of thought in all of your actions. So he explains the way in which you acquire Tahara is with the midah of Mesinus. Mesinus means have a Mesunim Badin. You're patient, you're slow, you're calm, you take a moment, you analyze, you contemplate, you think about, and then you go do the mitzvah. You need time to prepare yourself emotionally, spiritually, to go do a mitzvah. Right? The Gemara in Brachas, everybody knows that Chasidim HaRishayim, how Yushayim Sha'achas, before they would daven, a whole hour for preparation to get into the right frame of mind. Right? The Shulchan Aruch tells us that when a person sits in shul, they shouldn't just start davening the second they walk into shul. You have to walk in, you know, take a few steps, get inside the shul. Why? Because you need time to, you know, let your heartbeat settle, you know, let the pulse, get your breath back, so you can start thinking about tefillah. You can't just walk in and say, you're not concentrating. A person walks in straight, they're already davening. It doesn't work. You need a little mesinus, you need to relax, get your bearings, take a hold of yourself. Then you can start davening. So here it says, no, we're like the Ari. Lachtiv is a mitzvah. So which one is it? Are we supposed to be chaytiv, jump and pounce? Are we supposed to be a little bit, you know, ragua, calm, cool, collected, you know? So we can approach mitzvahs that way. Once we're asking, I'll ask about more. Doesn't it sound, at least to me, at least at first glance, when it says, Lizgabil Kari, it sounds as if almost like a negative. Right? You get up in the morning, you say, boy, I gotta go do Avodas Hashem. You gotta get up like a lion, right? You gotta use all that koyach, you have to be Mizgaber in order to get up to do Avodas Hashem. That's not nice. It should be the opposite. It should be so difficult for us to get up that we have to be Mizgaber Kari to get up. We should get up because we want to get up. There should be no fight with anything, right? I have to get up. I don't want to get up. Right? It's not like the Maisa with Reb Chaim, right? We have to want to get up. The bell rings. No, shine. It sounds like no. Torah is an oil. Avodah is an oil. It's supposed to be difficult. You're going to want to stay in bed. That's the way it's supposed to be. But it's gavel kari. You have to overcome it and become like a lion. So is it a positive or is it like a symbol of the fact that we're taka very weak and we need special type of chizuk and zrizus to get up in the morning? Which is it? From the Mishnah, clearly it doesn't sound that way. From the Mishnah, it sounds like, no, it's a midah toiva. But when you have to be mezgaber on something, if you use that expression, it always means you have to overcome that particular challenge in your life. You have to be mezgaber over it. That means you have to overcome that challenge. So wait a minute, are you saying that everything is a challenge that needs to be overcome? Because that's what it sounds like. Very hard to understand that that's what's expected of us. So what's the pshat? These two questions he didn't ask. Those are my questions, but I think his answer will answer them as well. So he says like this. He says that, the quotes from the Gemara Sanhedrin, which I brought in here. The Gemara Sanhedrin brings down, when it talks about the teva, so it says something very interesting about the yoina. It says like this. He sends out the yoina, and the way the pasuk describes it, I'm just trying to find it here because I lost the place. Vayishlach es hayoina meitoi lirois kolu amayim. He sent off the yoina meitoi. What does meitoi mean? It's mashma that the yoina was with him. He had to send it off because it was next to him, it was with him. It was me'itoi. So the Gemara learns, from here, we see that oifais tehoirois, that oifais tehoirois, dorim im atzadikim, shedirosan shel oifais tehoirois im atzadikim. That the oifais tehoirois, the pure birds, they like to stake around the great tzaddikim. The oifas tmeis, not really. He quotes from the Gemara in Bava Kamma and he goes into it a little bit. We don't have enough time to really develop the thought too much. But he says there, the Gemara talks about how the oifas tmeis, right, really stick around each other and they go to Rishoyim because they don't like to associate with the tzaddikim. Only the oifas tehoirois like to associate with the tzaddikim. Yeah, that's a little. Is that a little bird here? An oif tahar? So that stick that's flying around. So, anyways, the oifis tahirais that want to stick around the tzaddikim. What's the pshat in that? And what's the pshat with the oifis tmeis that want to be around the rishoyim? So he explains, again without getting into too much detail, but he explains that when there is a certain nature within a bria, it flocks to those that they are most in common with. Birds of a feather flock together, as they say. Right? So they flock together. So the oifas tmeis, they flock towards rishoyim, and they share common traits. Right? Maybe oisechesim chavriseha, or some other traits that they do that are typical of non-nice people. Right? Of not nice people. Right, they have a certain, and those birds sort of feel at home within that, they feel at home within that environment. While the oifas tahirais, they need a different type of environment because they are of a more pure spirit, so to speak, and therefore they have to associate with the with lofty people. So it explains like this. Has the pasuk that we quoted before, he quotes it also. He says, we learn me'oivai sechakmeini mitzvaisecho, that we have to learn from our enemies how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are our enemies? All these behemoths tmeis. Because the behemoths tmeis, each one of them are representing the negative and bad character traits that the Rishoyim all possess. So therefore, our responsibility is to learn from them and see, oh, that's the midah. So I'm going to take that midah and I'm going to use it for Avodas Hashem. I'm going to use that negative midah that you have, lion. I'm going to use that negative midah that you have, nomer, whatever it is. and I'm going to turn it around and twist it for my benefit. I'm going to use it to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to learn from their bad ways how we're supposed to serve Hashem. That's the way the Sadman Rebbe learns. So therefore, all the comparisons to these animals are not really telling us, oh, it's kedai to be like the lion. Fakert, don't be like the lion. Take the midah of the lion and use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Use the midahs that they have, that they use for dvarim asurim, for things that are tmeim, and go use it for dvarim tahirim. Go use it for things that are in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, akashas are answered. Right? Every one of them seems to have a better understanding now. When the Mesillas Yesharim says that you have to be calm and collected, you have to be calm and collected, of course. You have to use the opportunity that you have to channel the way in which, and we're going to prove it a little bit more in a minute, the way in which they serve to for ourselves to serve. And therefore, it's not a problem that that we have that sounds like it's an oil, because we're not supposed to be like them. Fakirat, we're going to do not like them. And it's not a problem that he uses behemoth tmeis, because they're not for us to actually be like, they're to us to learn how to be not like them. So all his questions and all the issues are resolved with this malach. But we're going to add a little bit more to it.
The fact that we don't see them.
What?
The fact that we don't see them in the forest.
So he says that you see them through the Rishayim, because the Rishayim possess the same midas. That's the way he looks at it. That's why he says it. Because they're from the common traits. They share those common traits. I saw brought down in another sefer. I forgot what it's called right now. I looked it up today. Thought it was very interesting too. He brings like this, that we talked a little bit more about the preparation, right? That we have to prepare ourselves to do Avodas Hashem. So, like we said, here it's mashma, you have to be chaytif, you have to go jump on the mitzvahs. So, what happened to the Ramchal? What happened to the Shulchan Aruch? So I brought down like this, from the Ramah. The Ramah says, right in the beginning of the first halacha, the halacha is, Yizgaber ka'ari la'amid ba'boiker la'avoidas boiroi, she'ehu me'oirer es ha'shachar. The Ramah brings at the end of that halacha, he goes like this: "Ubeshachvay amishkavay yed alefnei mihu shaychev, umiyad shiyor mishnosa yakum bezrizus laavodas boira yizbarach v'yisale." So he says, when you go to sleep at night, it's not enough to get up in the morning. Bezrizus, that's an impossible thing. You can't just get up and do it without time, without working on yourself, without preparation. You need preparation. You can't just get up in the morning and that's it right away, jump and do. So he says, you see it here. The Ramah says, before you go to sleep, you already should start preparing how you're going to wake up in the morning. The preparation is going to sleep at night. Before you go to sleep, you start thinking before who you're sleeping in front of. You're sleeping in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You need to sleep in order to have the strength and the wherewithal to get up in the morning early to serve Hashem. So it's not the pshat that you're just waking up in the morning like that. You have to be misgaber and you have to get up and right away and be chayt of the mitzvahs. On the contrary, you need preparation, like the Ramchal says. You need preparation. What's the preparation? How you go to sleep the night before. How you go to sleep. You go to sleep understanding. Right? Where does it say that? A person, I'm sure you'll remember somebody, that a person should, I think it's the Rosh. The Rosh says that a person should go to sleep learning Torah and fall asleep while they're learning. You should fall asleep while you're learning. You know, that should be the last thing. You're sleeping, you're learning, and you fall asleep. Mitten Mishnah, mitten whatever it is, right? Sleeping and fall asleep while you're learning. Why? That's the way you prepare. That's how you prepare for the morning. That's how you fulfill the mesinos that you need to fulfill in order to do it properly. That's the way the Ramah seems to learn. And it fits in a little bit. It fits in a little bit. Even though the Gemara, I'm not going to go into now the whole Shtikl Torah because I have 2 minutes left. But if you look inside the Psukim, it's clear, right? Even here, even in this Pasuk, you can see a little bit. Lo yishkav ad yechad teref. He doesn't go to sleep until he gets up in the morning. Bezrizus. But he didn't go to sleep until he ate what he had to eat. In other words, there was a level of preparation the night before, also in order to be able to get up with that level of zrizus that's necessary in the service of Hashem. This is just one animal. There's, by every single one of them, there's velts to learn how we're supposed to figure out our dimyon to those animals. You know, they bring down Perek Shira, teaches you that. You know, everybody knows also when it says Nase Odom, that some Mefarshim there learn Nase Odom means that all the animals contributed certain midos to us. So we do possess a certain commonality that we need to develop and understand in order to fulfill our Tafkid B'Shleimus. Ezos Hashem, we should be zechet to Besureis Toivais, Yeshuais, V'Nechomais, and only good things for Klal Yisrael and for yourselves. Have a good summer.